That's when we haven't sung in quite a while. But it's good to refresh and renew that vision through song and truth about the body of Christ, the church. As we mentioned before, today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Millions of Christians around the world are in prayer together with us for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted. There's all sorts of types of persecution. We'll get into a little bit of that shortly. Anyone here, if you've read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you realize that persecution, trials, and tribulation have been as much a part of the life of the church, the body of Christ, as the gospel is, as prayer is, as preaching and teaching the Word of God is. Just a recent revival in 2001, Harold Chadwick, who revised the Fox's Book of Martyrs, is quoted in that book as saying that the 20th century, that was just a few years ago, wasn't it? The 20th century, more Christians were killed, were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ than all the previous centuries of the church combined. Think of that. In the last century. Observers and those who are studying the whole issue of persecution around the world said that that persecution has not ceased, but increased all the more. The Lord tells us these words. For nation will rise up against nation, and we're seeing that today, aren't we? And the kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and lead many astray. You realize that 74% or better, that's about 5 billion people in this world, has some form of restriction to their religious practices. Think of that. All the various countries around the world, think of it, when you think of the UN and all the countries coming there, talking peace, peace, when there is no peace. All various programs. 74% of the nations here in this world that you and I live in have restrictions and persecutions to religious freedom. Think of your outline before you, if you will. Probably wondering, what is that phrase here? The blood of the martyrs is seeing the church. Some of you probably have heard that statement. It was first spoken by Tertullian, who was an early Christian. He happened also to be a lawyer, of all things. Now, that's not an oxymoron, because you can be a lawyer and you can be a Christian at the same time. I'm just joking. No, really, you can. Okay. But Tertullian, as a Gentile, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And because of his legal training in the Roman judicial system, oftentimes he would face the Roman court and give a defense for the Christians, whether they be Jew or Gentile, but give a defense for Christianity. And one of his defenses before the Roman court, he made that statement. Because what he was saying, that Rome can do all they want to stamp out Christianity, but the more they try to stamp out Christianity, the more it will grow and flourish. And that's what he meant by the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. When Christians suffer, Christ suffers with them. And Christ uses that suffering, that persecution, those trials, those tribulations, for the furtherance and advancement of his gospel. We see that throughout the book of Acts. We'll be taking a look at a number of passages in the book of Acts. But we also see it in the world today. Think of when Mao Zedong took control of China, tried to bring unity there because it was really a divided country. And the dynamic that he felt would really bring them together was communism. But in the ideology of communism, communism and the Church of Jesus Christ did not go together. They don't fit. As much as some people would have us to believe that Christians in the early church, well, they were communists. No, they were not. They were loving one another, and they were loving others, and they were meeting needs. And they were sharing the gospel. And they believed in the one true God who was manifested and shown himself, revealed himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so they tried to stamp out the Church of Jesus Christ. They burned the Bibles that they could confiscate. Sip penalties for those who would own a Bible. Imprisoned and martyred many. It was estimated that there were probably about 1 million born-again Chinese Christians there in China when the missionary activity had to close because the Iron Curtain came down. It's estimated now that about 8 million plus born-again believers in Jesus Christ in China. They still have persecution. They still have restrictions. They are still imprisoned. Time and time again, you see this. In the refugee camps, we're trying to help out those there in the Middle East. The gospel is going forth. So in one true sense, what Tertullian was saying to the Roman court at that time and to all of Rome, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. God will use those times, those persecutions. God will use those trials and tribulations, even that you and I go through, for the furtherance of the gospel. For God is sovereign. And he just loves to save people and bring them into the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of darkness. That's where you and I were before we came to know Jesus Christ. So we're light bearers, aren't we? Are you a light bearer today? I pray you are. You have light before you. Peter, in both of his epistles, Peter knew what suffering was for the name of Jesus Christ. In both of his epistles, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he wrote about suffering as Christians because we are Christians. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in that name. And Paul reminds us too, if one member suffer, then we all suffer. And in one sense, one true sense, because we're so interconnected within the body of Christ, universal, that when our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through times of trials and tribulation, in Africa, in China, in Romania, wherever, in the Middle East, you and I are called to go through those times with them. Not just to remember them, as it says in Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 13, verse 3, but to pray for them, to intercede for them, as well as for the persecutors. As I said, there's all different types of persecution. I know some Christians that are facing persecution here in the United States, and you probably know some of them too. Because of the name of Jesus Christ. And because of that name, because of that Savior and Lord that they've come to know and love, they have decided because of that conviction that they will do certain things and they will not do certain things. And we live in a society that says you can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to do what everybody else is telling you to do. So in some sense, we also have that persecution here. Some of the levels of persecution would be, if you will, intimidation. Many born-again believers are intimidated. No, just shut up. Nothing. You can't work. You can't tell people at work that you're a Christian. You can't tell people at work about Jesus Christ. Intimidation. Containment. Containment. It's kind of contained. You know, where they said that, yes, we have religious freedom here, at freedom of worship, and they've redefined the term. Many in our government would have us to believe that the freedom is only in here, in these confines of this building. This building is not the church. You and I are the church. And so there is some form of persecution right now, but not severe as other brothers and sisters in Christ are going throughout, outside, in other countries. There's not only intimidation and containment, but there's that ongoing harassment. Christian couple starting a business and say, because of their convictions, they won't do this or that because they're following Jesus Christ. harassment, ultimately destruction. Your outline before you have the beginning point. Jesus prepares his church for persecution. Yes, he prepared it back then too. There in the upper room, elsewhere throughout his teaching ministry, he was preparing his disciples. Persecution is going to come. There will be trials and tribulations. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Jesus prepares his church today too, right here in the United States, for persecution. Like a day like this, if you will, the International Day of Prayer reminds us, yes, people are being persecuted because of their convictions in Jesus Christ. What about me? Do I have the same convictions? Do I have the same boldness to share, to speak of Christ? Wherever I meet family, friends, or anyone, Jesus Christ prepares his church for persecution. Take a look there at the some of the verses that you have. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, Peter's confession of faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a confession of faith. That's a creed that Peter believed in. And the Lord says, that wasn't revealed to you by man, but revealed to you by your God, by your Father in heaven. And he says, I tell you, Peter, upon this rock, upon this statement of faith, I will build my church in the gates of what? Of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, there is a heaven, there is a hell. There is a kingdom of light, there is a kingdom of darkness. And when the Lord was announcing to his disciples then about the birth, the building of his church, the body of Christ, that it brings you war. It brings you battle. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're in that war, you're in that battle. Just like so many of our brothers and sisters around the world that see the heat and feel the heat of that battle right now. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before them. Jesus is telling us the reason for persecution that you will face and I will face. Maybe you're facing some measure of that right now. Maybe you're facing some sense of intimidation. I don't know. Stand firm. Stand through. Maybe you're facing some type of containment, trying to get you out of the way. Break out. Speak out. Maybe they're trying to harass you or intimidate you in many other ways. Jesus said the reason for that is because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Know the reason for that persecution. It's not because you haven't been friendly enough. It hasn't happened because you don't have enough education or anything else. It's happened because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He gives us the reason. He gives us the response. Rejoice. There's a reward. Again, take a look at John 16, verse 33. I have these things to say to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. He's preparing us, even now, every day. One of the ways the Lord provides, and as you see here in your outline, Jesus Christ provides for his church being persecuted through his presence. Take a look at, if you will, the verse there, Matthew 28, part of the Great Commission. He says, and behold, I am with you just for today. Is that what he's saying? And just for a week. Is that what he's saying? No. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The singular promise, if you will, in that Great Commission is that Christ will be with us through all sorts of trials and tribulations. Maybe you're seeing your trial and tribulation not as a persecution for the name of Jesus Christ, but God will use that, whatever you're going through right now, even your suffering, your trial, and your tribulation. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where you are right now, what you do right now, what you go through right now, as a member of the body of Christ, the church, Jesus Christ is personally with you. with us. And he will give us that awareness of his presence. Not only does he provide for his church going through persecution with his presence, but also with his peace. Christ's peace is not the peace that the world talks about or yearns for. Some of you are saying, peace, peace, like Jeremiah said to God's people back then, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Because in the world's mind, peace is the absence of conflict. Peace in the world's mind is the absence of struggle. That's not the peace that Jesus Christ brings into the heart of the believer, because in the world that you and I live in, there is struggle. There are trials. There are difficulties. There are problems. But the peace that he's talking about, that he is, as the Prince of Peace, is that comfort, that strength, that inner conviction in your heart, no matter what happens on the outside, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I am his. And he will get me through this, because he has promised. His peace becomes a strength in the Christian life, like no other strength that the world can provide. His strength in that peace will embolden you and I to speak forth Christ and know that people, they will hear. Just like in those refugee camps, when those who have fled from Iraq and Mosul into the camps, and they have that faith in Jesus Christ, that conviction of what Christ has promised, and they have this peace. Yes, you're going through very difficult times. But even some of the UN workers have seen there's a difference here. There's a difference here between these Christian refugees who are escaping persecution as opposed to those who are just escaping. Why? Because Christ's presence is peace. He provides for his people with his power to persevere. But perseverance isn't just the end. But the end is character transformation. When reviled, we bless. Man, that's out of character for the world. When I'm reviled, if I'm a member of this world, still part of the, if you will, the kingdom of darkness, I want to hit back. If I'm criticized, I want to criticize. If I'm cursed, I want to curse. But no. That's not for the child of God. It gives that power to persevere, but also to transform our character. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. Pressing on in Christ is that perseverance. Romans chapter 5, notice what it says. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Paul was persecuted. Paul had trials. Paul had struggles. Physical ailments as well. And Paul says, all of these things are working together for good later on in chapter 8. But take a look here at this verse 5, chapter 5. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces what? Endurance. Or perseverance. And endurance produces what? Character. Character. And character produces hope. Not only for those who are going through it, but listen to this, beloved. If you go through persecution, trials, and tribulations, and you experience God's presence through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit with you, you experience that peace of God. Not the absence of conflict, not the absence of problems, not the absence of persecution. God will work in your heart, your life, in your relationships. And not only affirm that living hope that you have in Christ Jesus, but others will see, hey, there's a difference here. There's a difference here. Why? Why? Because of Jesus. But there's another thing that God uses to provide for his people. And that's his people praying. Like we did this morning, if we pray for those brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that are being persecuted. Take a look, if you will, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. He's talking about all the various things that he was going through, and yet he had that hope. He had that knowledge that Christ was with him through it. He had the peace of Jesus Christ to guard his heart and his mind in Christ Jesus. But then he also, notice what he says, you also must help us by prayer. so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. One of the ways Jesus Christ is preparing and providing and with his people who are being persecuted in the Middle East, in Africa, in China, in Russia, in various places in Indonesia, is in response to the prayers of his people. Through our prayers for them, we are affirming before the throne of Christ that we are with them. Continue steadfastly, Paul says there in Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us. Paul invited prayer. Paul longed for prayer for him, for all what he was going through, yes, but also for the gospel. Pray the same, at the same time, pray for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on the account of which I am a prisoner, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Then again in Romans chapter 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Suffering? Yes. Trials? Yes. Tribulations? Yes. Persecutions? Yes. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that they might be the firstborn among many brothers. Christ is not only preparing his church today for persecution and trials and tribulations, but he's also providing for us as we go through those. Whatever level, whatever degree, whatever you're going through right now, what you're going through right now, what you're doing right now, Jesus Christ is with you. Jesus empowers the gospel to the church in persecutions. Paul is writing to the Christians there in Rome. Some persecution, of course, followed the Christians to Rome as well. You know that. There were different periods of heavy, severe periods of persecuting the church there in Rome and throughout the Roman Empire. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. He could say that. He could see that. He experienced that. Not only in his own life, he himself, being at one time a persecutor of Christians. Think of that. He was honored for it. He was recognized. Then he came to know Jesus Christ. And his life was transformed. His life is literally turned right side up. No longer in the kingdom of darkness, but now in the kingdom of light. And he knew the power of the gospel. He knew that God works. Do you? I pray you do. Jesus Christ said to his church in the very beginning, birth of the church, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. Yeah, Samaria even. Those hated people. The Jews despised the Samaritans. And yet the gospel, it changed the hearts of those Jews who came to know Jesus Christ, their Messiah, as their Savior, and they went to Samaria. Think of Philip. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, talking to people that he would normally as a Jew despise. The Jews saw them as less than human. In fact, they would often refer to the Samaritans as dogs, as animals. But they were loved of God because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation too. And so Jesus Christ, he empowered his people in the midst and through the persecution with the power of the Holy Spirit. As he does for you and I. You see, there's nothing in all of heaven and all of earth that can stop God's advance of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that we have members in our church and other churches here in this community? In Franklin County, think of this. Franklin County is one of the leading counties in release time through Joy L Ministries and CDF. Think of that. Think of all the boys and girls that come to hear Jesus Christ in the release time. And there are men and women. Maybe you'd like to be a part of that ministry so you can proclaim Jesus Christ. You know, at times, that release time, they try to contain it. They tried to shut it down. They really did. God says, oh no, you're not going to do that. For my gospel, my son's gospel of grace, is still my power of salvation. To every boy and girl who believes in Jesus Christ, every man and woman, and I transform their lives. I can remember sitting at a table in a planning board meeting for a CEF board established in New Jersey many years ago, and there was a couple there, and they just had a love for Jesus Christ, you could tell it. And as they prayed, we were praying that the Lord would just open up doors for child evangelism in two counties in New Jersey. And we went around the table all just to express our testimony of salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. And this couple, it was interesting, because they lived in another county at the time when their children were small, and their son went to a CEF Good News Club. Johnny came home born again. He came home as a Christian. And he was living that new life that he had in Jesus Christ before his parents, and his parents saw something was different there. And who took my kid and gave me this kid who I really like? Johnny started sharing the gospel, what he was hearing in the Good News Club. Every week, his parents got saved. His parents came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what saved means. But it doesn't stop there, because their lives were transformed and changed. They got into a Bible preaching and Bible living church. And got involved in ministry. You know what was on their hearts most of all? Sharing those ministries. Is that on their heart? Well, maybe it isn't children's ministries. Maybe it's some other gospel ministry. Maybe it's laboring together with the care ministry. Maybe it's laboring together with the youth group. The Good News Club on Wednesday night. You know, one of the greatest sounds, men are in here praying, have the Bible study, you hear all these, the choir of little feet going downstairs and whatnot. Man, that's a great sound. It really is. The power of God in the gospel. Jesus powers the gospel through the church and persecution. Take a look at Acts chapter 4, 29. Now the Lord considered their threats. Hot persecution was raising up against the church there in Jerusalem. And this is what they prayed. They didn't say, Lord, get us out of this fire. Lord, we don't know what to do. You promised that you'll get us home. Lord, take us out of this. I'm complaining. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great what? Boldness, not fear. Boldness. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I know a lot of people focus on that. Wow, this place hasn't shaken. You know, the most important thing here is not that the place was shaken, but God's people were moved. That's the most important thing. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's what happens. That's happening today. In the refugee camps, in China, in the underground churches, in their communities, in Russia, in Africa, in Indonesia right now. When they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, well, they didn't shut up, they stood up. They didn't shut up, they spoke up. Take a look, and every day in the temple and from house to house. You know, you can't get everybody in the temple. We can't get everybody here to church. But I'll tell you what they were doing. They were going house to house. That's a wonderful thing what God was doing to the power of the gospel through his people. Every day in the temple from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You know that in God's sovereign grace, because it was a grace act, in God's sovereign grace, he was sending forth his people with the gospel. Many maybe some were saying, you know, I don't know if we can do this because we don't have the apostles with us. I don't know if we can do this because the pastor isn't with us. I don't know if we can do this because our Sunday school teacher isn't with us. I don't know if we can do this because the elders and deacons aren't with us. I don't think they said that, do you? Paul specifically said the apostles didn't accompany them, but Jesus Christ did. And the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And they went far and wide beyond Samaria too. Take a look at what follows. Here in Acts chapter 11. And now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, the first martyr of the church, when he was stoned, because of the name of Jesus Christ, that he was living, that he was loving, and that he was proclaiming, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. I think in some sense maybe they were afraid, but yet God moved their hearts so that fear was dispelled, and with boldness. And some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greek sellings also, telling them the good news. That's the gospel. It is good news about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great multitude of the people believed and turned to the Lord. You know when a church is successful? You know when the body of Christ is successful? It's not with all the programs. Yes, we need ministries. Praise the Lord for those who are ministering. But you know what determines the success of the body of Christ? Whether it's through trials and tribulations or for the good times, the bad times, the all times, is that God's people in that portion of the body of Christ are so convicted in their heart, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that people need to be saved, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. And I'm going to tell my sons and my daughters, I'm going to tell my grandsons and granddaughters that Jesus Christ is the way of life, of hope, and eternal blessing, and the forgiveness of their sins. You know what makes the church successful? You and I. I find it easy when we see a lack of success to complain. Do you find that easy, Bill? Lord, why not now? Why not here? And you know what he's telling you through the word? And I pray he's telling you too. Not the complaining. It's a time of the compelling love of Jesus Christ. That others would be saved. And brought out of the kingdom of darkness. And into the kingdom of light. Do we need such a sovereign grace act of God to scatter us to advance his gospel? Can we together resolve our hearts before God? Lord Jesus, I know that my brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are being persecuted for their faith and trust in you. The one I have faith and trust in too. But they're standing up. They're speaking out. Lord, help me do that now. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served the advance of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for who? Christ. Not because I'm a Jew, but because of Christ and his gospel. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Are you afraid to speak to others about Jesus Christ? We today, knowing what others are doing right now around the world, in the face of fearful situations and circumstances, are still speaking to Christ. Will you today say, Lord Jesus, empower me, embolden me. Lord, compel me with your love. Share it with others. As a parent, have you invited and allowed the compelling love of Christ in your heart to so speak to your children, to your grandchildren, to your neighbors? I'll be honest with you, I can't imagine going to heaven knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not looking forward to seeing my children there with me, my grandchildren, my friends, my neighbors. Does God so have to use persecution in our lives to get us off the dime, so to speak, and do the right thing? Seven characteristics become evident in believers' life under pressure of persecution, trials, and tribulation. They have a sharper focus of eternity. They have a passion for the salvation of the lost. They have a God-centered life, not a self-centered life. They have a commitment to God's Word to study it, to share it, to speak it, and to live it. A willingness to serve. Well, not me. Let somebody else do it. No. They have a willingness to serve. Church that's on fire for the Lord has people that are on fire for serving. That's true. Because they're serving the Lord, not themselves. A greater dependence upon God for prayer than a maturity to Christ's likeness. We remember those who are being persecuted this morning. We pray for them and pray with them. And I can say that because I know that they're praying for us here in the United States. That we will grow and mature. Become Christ-like. And Christ-burdened. As they are now. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the work of your gospel in our lives. And Father, we would be remiss. And it would be wrong if we didn't pray for those who are in the sanctuary this morning. Those who do not know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray together with my brothers and sisters here in the sanctuary. We pray for their salvation. Bring into their lives, Father, evidences of your grace, your mercy. A witness and revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the lives of those who are saved. Bring into their lives, Father, the hunger and thirst that only your Spirit can give them. We not only pray for those unsaved who are here in this auditorium, but Father, we pray that for our families, our friends. Put within their hearts, their depths of their soul, a hunger, a thirst to know you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and God. In your name we pray. Amen.